Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. You're listening to Cluck, the podcast where Ted Cluck and Josh Loftus talk about the things that make them happy. Because we can. Let's do it. Ted, my man, good morning. It is good to be with you doing radio, my friend. Got the backwards hat on today. What are we rocking? What's the logo?
It's Cluck. It's the
I
just got a few samples of these made, so this is the Cluck hat. And yeah, man, we're heading up to the lab for a few rounds of sparring after the show, and then some other kind of heavier stuff of life. But
sure.
But, you know, it's good, man. And I don't know if you follow college football at all, but my Indiana Hoosiers, who traditionally have been never competitive, I take that back. They were competitive kind of in the 90s, in that they'd win five or six games, go to the Holiday Bowl once in a while, but on a national scale, never really competitive. But they're headed to the national championship after absolutely boat racing Oregon last night, which was wild, dude. Yeah, they're a buzzsaw. And, you know, it's modern college football, so, like, they bought the team, and, you know, their coach is really good. They play really good football. They're coached really well.
Yeah.
And so it's weird in that I should care about it a lot more than I do. Like, I should be a lot more kind of emotionally worked up about this, but I'm not since, you know, players are just sort of commodified at this point. So
I mean, it really is just kind of a testament to the fact that once you add money, it really does ruin things.
It does. And money's always been in college football, but it was always kind of wink wink, nudge nudge under the table.
Right.
But now that it's kind of out in the open, which I think everybody thought would fix it, it's actually made it worse, in my opinion. Although there are smart people out there who would completely disagree with me on that. But you know.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it does make it so that, I mean, obviously, you know, the big schools that have the most money, right?
Yeah.
They just turn into powerhouses that's kind of dominates things, right? So I mean, Hoosiers though getting to the top is somewhat rare though.
That's
still pretty cool in the world of, you know, the Alabamas and the Michigans and the Oregon States, you know, like that's a cool thing.
I took a recruiting visit to Indiana with my dad in 1993, and it was one of the honestly, at the risk of sounding dramatic, it was one of the happiest days of my life. You know, kind of in the rear view apex mountain for my football career, and that it was all kind of downhill after that, but not really, dude. I've had a lot of fun playing a lot of places since then, but it was one of those days when you're young where, like, everything in the world seems possible. And, you know, I could tell Pops was proud. So we drive down to Bloomington, and, you know, we get the tour of the facility and see the helmets and see the locker room, and we get to walk out on the field, and, you know, they took us into the theater and showed us, like, the highlight film, and
just
it was pretty special, man. Yeah, to hype me up, and I should have signed my life away right there, man. I don't know what I was thinking, but, you know, I went another route, you know, went the small Christian college route, which, you know, as it turns out, the Lord used that and was kind there too, but it was pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
I texted a picture. I still have the media guide that they gave us that day, and I texted a picture of it to Pops last night during the game, and
that's cool.
He was like, "Wow, what year was that?" You know.
Yeah.
So a lot of water under that bridge, man.
For sure.
But pretty cool memories. For sure.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Memories you'll have forever. That's really neat. That's Indeed. Really neat.
Yeah.
No, that is cool. That's cool, man. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today, Ted. First thing that we're going to get to is actually we're gonna bring back a topic that we started. I think it was last week.
Okay.
That we've gotten some movement on.
Really?
I've got some suggestions for you.
Okay.
For a CB name.
Come on, dude. Talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to run through a long list.
Okay.
All right. Some of which I have found, some of which were submitted. But I just want to start getting the creative juices flowing, because if you're going to get a CB in your car,
oh, yeah.
You need a good, you know, breaker name. You need a CB.
Yeah,
I got to
have
name,
a handle. Got to have
can't
a handle.
You can't just be, hey, this is Ted.
Yeah.
Right. Got to have a good handle. Okay.
Yeah.
So
lay them on me.
I'm gonna lay down some fun ones,
okay,
that I think would be, and you just be honest, because there's tons of them. Okay.
Okay.
You just be honest about how they hit you,
dude. So the people came out in droves for this. They got on board. I love
yep,
it.
Yep. Yep. We had some people come out, and then some of these I have found as well.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here we go. We're going to let me pull them up here.
Yeah, dude, fire away.
And just picture yourself, right? You're in the car,
yeah,
right? You're driving down, you got yeah, Motley Crue, right, cranking mm-hmm, a cassette tape. Oh, hey, I want to, you know, call my son or something like that. I'm going to pick up the radio,
yeah,
you know, breaker, this is, and then
yeah,
what comes over the radio. First one, yep, I've got, Sidewinder.
Okay. Dude, that's nice. Sidewinder feels like when you fire up like Madden on the PS5,
yep,
and yep, there's the kind of blank like palette of the create a player,
yep.
Sidewinder feels a bit generic. I like it.
Okay.
Sidewinder feels
okay,
like the seventh or eighth guy off the bench on like Top Gun Maverick, like the guy that whose plane gets shot down in the first act. You know,
okay.
We lost Sidewinder today. He was a good soldier. You know, pour one out.
Okay.
That's kind of how Sidewinder hits.
Okay. All right. That's not bad. All right. Okay. All right. We're gonna hit you with some football.
Yeah.
D line.
Oh, I like that, dude.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm playing more O line now, so I may have to modify.
Are you playing O line? Okay.
Yeah, I'm playing more O line now, but
okay,
I may have to modify it. But that's strong, dude. I do like that. It's
okay,
it's a nod. It's a hat tip to the football playing. I dig it. Yeah.
Okay. This is one of my favorites for you,
yeah,
personally.
Talk about
I would call you this.
Okay.
Tall order.
Tall order rips, dude.
Yeah, dude.
That
I
goes so hard. Tall order.
Dude, and like, dude, like, yeah, I couldn't call myself that, because
yeah,
it would have to be ironically, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But dude, tall order rips, man.
Dude, I love tall order. Tall order's like number one in the clubhouse right now. So
okay.
Yeah, but let's keep going. Let's see what the people
okay
came up with. Yeah.
All right. You got Ironsides.
Ironsides. I love Ironsides because that's a hat tip to a character in a satirical Rapture novel that I wrote called Re-Raptured.
Okay.
We had a character called Ironsides in there. I do like that, although that was a character that Zach wrote, so I would kind of feel like I was co-opting his character for my call sign, and that just might get kind of like cosmically weird, you know what
okay
I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I
here's
do like
what
it.
Here's one from a listener.
Okay.
And it's a play off of your last name.
Okay.
He thinks you should go with Rooster.
Rooster, dude, that's solid.
Yeah,
that's
yeah
actually really solid.
Yeah, that was a listener, Paul Johnson.
Okay,
yeah,
shout out Paul Johnson. It wasn't their character named Rooster in Top Gun Maverick, wasn't that like
yes
the kid's name?
Yeah, there is.
Dude,
yeah,
I like the symmetry of that too. Rooster's
yeah
strong. I think I'm still like a little bit on Tall Order, but I do like Rooster. Let's keep going though.
Okay. All right. Let me pull up. Pull up this. Sorry, I lost my page. My bad.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a sec. Okay. Okay. pogo stick.
Dude, I'm so out on pogo stick. I don't know that I could be more out on pogo stick.
Okay. We're gonna go classic, in my opinion, 90s.
Okay.
And it's just a classic big dog.
Big dog. I like big dog.
Big dog.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm guessing, though, in the CB radio community, there's probably a lot of big dogs driving around out there. A lot of semi trailers, a lot of big dogs, already on the airwaves. I wouldn't want to kind of muddy the waters that way, but I do like the 90s-ness of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thunderbird.
Thunderbird. I like that because it has like both 1980s car connotations, but also 1980s professional wrestling connotations.
Yes.
In that there was this dirtbag tag team in like the NWA in the 80s and early 90s called the Thunderbirds.
Yep.
I like it. I like it, but I think I'm still a Tall Order guy at this point.
Tall Order's not bad.
With Rooster a very close second. Rooster is like nipping at the heels of Tall Order.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Here's one for you.
Go.
Tennessee Timber.
I like that, but I feel like that's the name of the logging company I'm going to start in 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
Yeah. I need to be hauling like cords of wood to really be called Tennessee Timber. It doesn't quite fit with the persona. You know, I'm not sure that a guy who calls himself Tennessee Timber can like get out of a Fiat wearing a cardigan and a flat cap and a scarf.
It is probably difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Alamo.
Alamo. Some nice Davy Crockett connotations.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like to go with the call sign Alamo, you have to be from Texas. You know what I mean? And my lack of being from Texas would like somehow show through in the CB community and I'd be outed as like a poser, you know.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right.
I'm sorry to shoot all these down, dude. I really
No. This is your CB name.
I know. It's my
this
call
is your
sign,
CB
dude.
Name.
Respectfully.
This is your call sign. You have to like it, okay?
I do. Yeah.
How about this? Old fashioned.
Oh my gosh, dude. Old fashioned. It's strong. It's a reference to a drink that I definitely don't know anything about if my employer's listening.
No.
It's a nod to my perspective on life in that I'm kind of an old-fashioned guy.
Yeah.
Dude, it would sound so good coming over the CD to CB.
Yeah.
This is old-fashioned. Copy.
I'm telling you, dude.
Yeah. Oh, I love
Not
it.
Not bad. All
okay.
Right.
Old-fashioned and Tall Order, I think, number one and two in the clubhouse.
Okay.
With Rooster coming in a close third.
Okay.
But let's keep going if you got more.
I got a few more.
All right.
Pipe wrench.
Pipe wrench. Again, I think like my lack of being a wildcatter in the oil industry, you know, a roughneck. I don't know that I could go buy pipe wrench and then like pull my Fiat Spider convertible into a parking spot and get out with my little leather bag, you know.
Okay.
I do love it for somebody. I just don't love it for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Barn burner.
Barn burner. I love barn burner, dude. And I love barn burner because, and this is getting way like 1920s football nerd. There were these barnstorming like football teams and players who would just like play under assumed names. They'd suit up for like one team this week, one team next week. And that's kind of the vibe that I have now in my semi-pro playing. I'm just like, the gear's always in the trunk. I'm always ready to go. I do like it, but I think I don't like it as much as the other three that we have.
That's fair.
Up. Yeah.
I've got one. This is one of my favorites for you.
Talk about it.
All right. Don't let that influence you, but I'm just telling you, it's one of my favorites. Yeah. Long snap.
Oh man, long snap is good, dude.
Dude, that's
it's
a
unique.
Crazy CB name.
That's a good CB
breaker.
Name.
Long snap coming in.
I like long snap. It's going to be unique. Nobody else is going to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
How do I rank it with the other contenders? Let's just put it up there. Let's put it in the bucket of like
they're all in the zeitgeist now. Like they're all just ruminating together.
Let's just say we're gonna have to make some hard choices. You know, we're gonna have to leave some absolute gold on the cutting room floor, and it hurts me to say that. But I do like long snap very much.
Okay. You could get into, again, like more like football theme, depending on like coverages. You could do like, you could be cover two, cover three.
Cover two, cover three. I do like it.
Something like that. I liked red zone.
Red zone. Red zone is good, dude.
Red zone's not bad.
I watch a lot of red zone during the season. Yep. Oh, I like that. Yep. I like that.
I could see you coming over the CB radio calling yourself Prime Time.
Prime Time.
I like that.
I don't know about... I don't know. Prime Time is good. I feel like Deion Sanders is already working that corner and has been for like, you know, 30, 40 years. So
It's true.
I don't know if I can co-opt Prime Time. If I was ever on the highway like near Deion Sanders and he had a CB... And I came across the airwaves as Prime Time, I think he would be pretty offended, you know.
So another one that I liked, Southpaw.
I do like Southpaw, although I'm an Orthodox fighter. I'm not actually a Southpaw in the ring. So Okay. I think I would have to really be a lefty to use the moniker Southpaw. Okay. But I do like it.
Yeah, because the other one I had was Left Hook.
I do like Left Hook. Left Hook's probably
Left Hook.
I'm fond of the Left Hook. It's probably my favorite power punch to throw. I do like it. Yeah.
We've got,
is that all you got?
I've got a couple more. I've got Rock Jaw, or you could do Iron Jaw.
Okay.
That also works. All right. Yeah. Works in some boxing there.
Yeah.
there was Speedball.
Speedball. isn't that what happens when you mix like cocaine and heroin together? Is that an eight ball?
I think that's an eight ball. Yeah,
you're right.
But yeah, that's most of the good ones. I think, in my opinion, I think we've got tall order.
Yeah.
Old fashioned.
Long snap. Yeah.
And then we liked Rooster. I think it's those four that you got to ruminate on, man.
Yeah, I know. I've got some work to do.
Yeah.
I really do. I have some soul searching to do, some work, but
those
were really, really strong suggestions. Shout out to the Cluck Army, our listenership, our people.
Yep.
For taking care of me and thinking about my CB radio life, you know.
Yeah. We just want to keep you safe, Ted.
Dude, at the end of the day, what are friends for if not to think of your CB radio life and what your call sign will be? So
exactly.
Shout out to the good people of this podcast for taking care of me in that way. Josh, we got time for one more topic. Dude, jog my memory. What was the topic that we brought up in the Patreon that we thought would be good for the main app?
Yeah, so that I think is going to be a full app. We might save that for the next one. But basically, the idea for that app is... things about reformed culture that we miss that we would bring back, right?
Because
and I've got a whole intro because reformed culture right now sucks. I hate it. It's
dude,
so
fascinating.
Dumb.
I want to hear you on that.
But it's a full ep worth of ranting.
Got it.
And
got
it. And we both need to be in a very ranting mood.
Got it.
So we'll save that special for a different ep because I've got thoughts on that.
Love it.
But I
love
did
it.
Want to throw something over to you that caught some drama over on the Twitters, Ted.
Oh man. Yeah, lay it on. Right.
All right. Apparently, a couple of your former mutuals were involved in a little controversy.
Dude, a little
over
tiff,
the last
a little,
week.
A little kerfuffle. Okay? Dude, who was it and what went down?
I'm going to tell you right now. And I think I sent you this. So I think you're somewhat aware of this, right?
Okay.
But over the last week, GC Discipleship, which I'm not sure what that stands for, put out an announcement of a preaching cohort that they are going to be putting out there for pastors, right?
Yep.
Basically just help pastors become better preachers. Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds great, right?
Yeah.
And it would have been fine, mm-hmm. except the they decided to put it on social media.
Yeah, yeah.
And not just keep it to themselves. Yeah, that was their first mistake. Right?
Probably everyone's first mistake for most things, if
exactly.
we're being honest.
100%. 100%. All right. And the only reason I'm bringing this up, really, is because it involves mutuals of yours. Okay.
All right, man.
But basically, they put out a preaching cohort announcement in which there are a bunch of different people doing presentations, right?
Yeah.
Including one Ronald J. Martin.
Wow.
Jared C. Wilson.
Okay.
Barnabas Piper.
Okay.
And then some other guys that I don't know. But the thing that got the Twitter in shambles was the fact that part of this preaching training cohort, they brought in a woman.
Okay.
They brought in a woman.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to remember who it is.
All right.
Let me
probably
actually...
-110 on DraftKings, it's Jen Wilkin. Although I think
her
theology is probably too good for her to do that.
I think I'm gonna check. I'm gonna check.
Find out who it is, dude.
I'm gonna find out who it is. But anyway, the world absolutely just
burned to the ground.
Burned to the ground because they had this lady in here involved in preaching to other pastors. Dude, you would have thought that the world absolutely was ending, just in terms of their reactions. Okay.
Oh man.
But I wanted to throw it over to you to kind of see your thoughts on this, man, because it involves some mutuals. It is Jen Wilkin, by the way.
I'm surprised
Jen Wilkin.
She would do that. I thought she was solidly complementarian, but I guess I was wrong.
The big debate arose between can a woman teach, like can she teach like preaching without being an authority, like all of this stuff. But anyway,
all of that to say,
Twitter blew up. It's involving a couple of your former guys. Do you have any thoughts on this, or does this move the needle for you at all? Because I thought it was quite funny how no matter how they try to stay out of drama. Drama somehow seems to find them.
Well, I mean, I think when you do... Well, this is going to sound too provocative by half. But I think when you do unbiblical things in public, like, drama will find you, you know? Yeah. And I think this says more about kind of where the Gospel Coalition is now, in that I don't think anyone in the kind of serious reformed world is taking any of their marching orders from the Gospel Coalition, which has gotten kind of squishy and a little bit more nuancey, let's just say.
Sure, you know, I don't think it's the Gospel Coalition that's doing it. I mean,
I bet it is.
I agree with you on your
take. I bet it's Christianity Today.
It might be.
Really
it
squishy,
just says gospel-centered
really
discipleship. I don't know who's sponsoring them, but
figure it out.
Yeah, it's possible.
I don't mean to impugn TGC if they're not actually doing it, but my guess is, given who's on the roster, and again, this sounds too mean by half because I really do like some of these people, but like, I think it's just people who want to get back in the spotlight a little bit and keep their publishers happy and do a semi-public thing and make a little payday and that's I realize as that comes out of my mouth, that's probably a cynical view of it, but this is where I want to hear you, because you're a pastor. I have really grown to think over the last decade or so that pastoral mentorship should come from the local church. Like this is colored by the church that I'm in now, which I love. Mm-hmm. They have a pastoral internship program where every year, like, the pastors at my church are like mentoring and building into the next generation of pastors. Right. Mm-hmm. And then these guys go out and plant churches, which I think is really amazing and beautiful. And they're taking hard churches. Like these aren't easy, like kind of hipster church plants. These are like, I'm taking over the the church in upstate New York that's dying because there's just no Christianity up there, or whatever. So
yeah.
I'm really proud of what these guys are doing. They're doing it really well. And it's happening in the local church context where, yeah, you're not just kind of wetting your fingertip and sticking it to the winds and seeing who's popular. You know, I mean, they're learning how to be pastors from guys who have been pastors for 30 years.
Sure.
And, you know, no disrespect to anybody on that panel, but these are by and large professional famous people. You know, I know Barnabas is really pastoring now, but, you know, and I haven't glanced at the roster in a while, but like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just something you do to rub shoulders with semi-famous people. It's kind of marketable. You know, if you're a young frisky pastor trying to get your book deal, you know, these are good people to cozy up to, you know, so I get it.
I get
why people do it. So talk me through who got mad online and what they said, and then talk me through if anybody from the roster responded in any kind of way.
So a lot of people that are on the roster actually like aren't very active on Twitter anymore.
That's shocking because some of them were really active at one time.
Oh, for sure.
I'm thinking of one in particular. Yeah.
Yeah. So nothing was responded to.
Okay.
In terms of the backlash, like it was just completely ignored, which I think, I think when you're on social media, like, I think that's the way to do it. I agree.
It's the best way to
stuff.
Deal with heat. Yeah,
it really is. It really is. Mm-hmm. Just let it roll off the back. Honestly, like it's the best thing that you can do. Yeah. I mean, look, the things that they were saying are all the classic, and there's a spectrum of I agree, and then dude, that's too far. What you're just a knucklehead and an idiot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the spectrum of why are we having, you know, someone who biblically is not supposed to be in the office of pastor, teach pastors how to preach.
That's where I would
right?
be.
Yeah, right? yeah. There's that. Mm-hmm. And then there's the specter, the pendulum swing of why are women teaching men anything? And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah. That's right.
And let's slow the roll here, guys.
I would not be in on that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I would not be
exactly.
in on that.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then everything in between. Everything in between,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the discourse, there was no discourse. Can't have discourse on social media. It's such a cesspit, right?
Yeah, that's
but
right.
It is a valid question that I think, you know, obviously has been debated forever. It will continue to be debated forever. And I think people look at some of the folks that are on the panel and ask, like, hey, I thought we were complementarian in terms of our understanding of the roles within the church, right?
Yeah.
Does this push it, right? Like where is the line in terms of, okay, we're not going to have, you know, someone in a particular role, but can they train the person for that role, right?
Yeah.
And that's the question. And so I guess where I would land.
Yeah.
And again, this is I don't really know. I'll be completely honest. I don't really know Jen Wilkin.
Yeah.
I've heard she has some good stuff. I haven't frequented her stuff before.
Yeah.
Whenever I view things like training and preaching, or you know, pastoral training or things like that, maybe it's just because of the environment and the kind of climate that I'm in.
Yeah.
But I view it much like I do train, like blue collar training for like a journeyman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In that it's required, at least here in Washington, you know, for you to get your if you want to work on your own, you got to get your journeyman card, right? You start as an apprentice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the people that I want training, the guys that I'm over, right?
Yeah,
are other journeymen.
Yeah,
guys that have been in the field and done the thing, themselves.
Yeah,
right. So it does cause me to kind of ask the question, and again, maybe I'm too simplistic and old-fashioned in how I'm looking at it, but I do think that it kind of equates, and that like I want to be trained by someone who has been in the position before that I can
100%.
Really glean some stuff from. It's not 100%. That I couldn't glean stuff from, you know, Jen Wilkin in other ways. I'm sure that I could, but preaching's an odd one for me,
yeah,
just because I don't even think she would agree that she's supposed to be in that role. And again, I don't know her theology.
So. Yeah, I wouldn't I don't think so. I mean, she was sort of the first reformed woman to really get platformed and get book deals.
Okay. Is she like the reformed answer to Beth Moore?
Yeah, kind of.
Like, was that her?
Okay. Yeah, I, you know, she was. Yeah, I would say yes. I think she came out of. I think she came out of Maddie Chan's church.
Okay.
had the kind of mega church pipeline and the platform, and
sure.
I think she wrote some really pretty solid stuff. And you know, I mean, given the people I know on that particular panel, I would say she was among the more solid of them. But I also know, with the exception of her, pretty much everybody on that cohort roster is just a C-lister, you know, trying to do books, trying to stay in the spotlight a little bit. And, you know, I would say she has probably a higher profile than any of them, or at least she did back when I was around and like caring about stuff like that.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is, and this is where the Gospel Coalition or whoever's putting this on is getting kind of squishy. I think there are people on that roster who just aren't complementarian at all. You know, if you want to have a kind of unified front on complementarity, like stirring together this particular cocktail of C-listers probably isn't the way to do it.
Yeah.
And that's not to say there aren't good people and smart people on that panel. You know, I there are, you know, I think a lot of some of them, but, you know, it's whatever, dude. And if I was a pastor, if I was endeavoring to be a pastor, I just cards on the table. I wouldn't waste my time on stuff like this.
Sure. I mean, that goes back to your first point, which I heartily agree with. I think that the vast majority of training for pastors needs to come from pastors within the local church, because I mean, I went to seminary. It didn't, I'll be completely honest, it didn't make me a better pastor.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with you. I've heard that from a lot of folks.
Like it filled my head with some, you know, some knowledge and some tools here and there, but none of which I couldn't have learned on my own, honestly, with time and study.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing that makes you a good pastor, the thing that makes you a good preacher, is doing it. And it's learning from the guys that have done it before you, right? So that's where. And here's the thing: like, I don't really know Jen Wilkin. I'm sure she's got some great stuff that I'd really find valuable, that I'd really be encouraged by, right? It's just the overarching question of, again, maybe I'm looking at it too simplistically, but I want journeymen to teach apprentices.
Yeah.
Right. Whether that be in electrical or plumbing or HVAC, I see that in pastoral ministry too. Like, I want guys that have their card being the ones to train the apprentices that are coming up. I don't know.
I would
say
if you're making any kind of mistake in this, you are thinking about it too practically. Like, to me, this is a marketing thing, and it's a marketing thing for these people. And if you think about it that way, then they could say whatever they want, right?
Sure,
You know, it's a marketing thing and an entertainment thing more than it's a pastoral thing. And
gotcha.
I know that sounds like impugning the motives of these people, but I mean, I think deep down...
So you're saying my CB handle is like... like, I'm naive.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm naive in this.
I think so, and I'm glad you're naive. You know, look, I mean, I've swum in some of these waters with these people and these types of people, and, you know, marketing is in the ether. You know, it's just kind of always in the ether. So
Interesting.
And that's not to position myself as some saint who doesn't care about marketing. I care about it too, but... I think it could be helpful to think of this as a marketing thing. You know?
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it does put it in a different perspective if that's the intent, for sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, Ted, my friend, we have come to an end. We should probably go over and talk to our patrons, my man, because we've got to record one for them as well. But this has been a fun ep, figuring out CB names for you and talking marketing and church drama. It's always
Love
a good
it.
Time, Ted.
Love it.
We're going to go over to our patrons right now. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear this conversation continued, if you want to hop over to our patron our Patreon and get some exclusive content over there. It's only $5 a month. That's all it is. You can head on over to Patreon and subscribe and join the conversation, join the community, and we would love to have you there because we got stuff that goes on over there that only the patrons hear. And there's paywall up, so Ted and I both let the long hair down a little bit, and a little bit more loose, a little bit more free. We're going to get over there. So we thank you guys for listening. Make sure to hit us up on all the socials. Throw us some topics that you would like us to cover, and we would really appreciate that. We'll catch you on the next episode of Cluck. Later.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown in the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.